Okay, welcome everyone back to Shmuel Beis, and we're learning Perek Yud Zayin. We have not learned in a couple weeks, so we're a little rusty, but we'll just review the basic storyline for Perek Yud Zayin, and then we'll continue where we left off. So last time, we did the first half of Perek Yud Zayin. In the first half of Yud Zayin, keep in mind we're in the midst of the rebellion of Avshalom, the son of David, against his father David. We're in the midst of that rebellion and the beginning of Perek Yud Zayin. So what's going on? I'm just going to turn this air conditioner off. Okay, there we go. So in the beginning of Perek Yud Zayin, the first half of Perek Yud Zayin was essentially Achitofel gave advice to Avshalom how he should attack David HaMelech. And Achitofel's advice was to do it immediately, to get only a relatively small army of 12,000 men. Don't go yourself, let me do it. And he had a whole plan of how Avshalom should attack and kill David. We find that Avshalom did not seem so crazy about Achitofel's plan. And that's why he went to get a second opinion. Right? Just like doctors, we get a second opinion. So here too, when it came to his rebellion against his father, he went to get a second opinion. And he went to Hushai. Hushai, we know, was really a friend of David's. Right? He was a little bit of a spy. He was a friend of David's who was planted himself in Yerushalayim. And Avshalom, you know, did not know that. But Avshalom, nevertheless, came to Hushai and said, you know, what do you think about Achitofel's plan? Hushai said, listen, Achitofel, he's a great guy. He's a good advisor. But this plan is not a good plan. This is not what you should do. Rather, you should take some more time, gather a more substantial army, and then go and attack David, not even to kill him. This plan sounded much better to Avshalom. And that's what we ended with last time. Pasuk Yudalin, Vayomer Avshalom Echolish Yisrael, Tova Atzas Hushai Ha'arki Me'atzas Achitofel. Hushai Ha'arki, his plan is much better than Achitofel's plan. And now the Navi is talking that Hashem, this was all Hashem's doing, of course, Hashem's plan, the Hashgacha, to undo Achitofel's advice, because it's time for Avshalom to meet his demise. So we see here already, the Navi is telling us that already the tables are beginning to turn. Right, although Avshalom is planning this big attack against David, it's not going to pan out that way, and the tables are beginning to turn. Avshalom is beginning to meet his demise. And that's where we pick up this week with Pasuk Tes Vav. Vayomer Hushai el Tzadok ve'el Evyasar ha-Kohanim. So Hushai turns to Tzadok and Evyasar. Now, if you remember, which, you know, it's hard to remember from a couple prakim ago, especially because we were on hiatus for a couple weeks, but back in Perek Tes Vav, these two Kohanim, Tzadok and Evyasar, were also on David's side. And David told them, go back to Yerushalayim, don't worry about it. So here we have a whole group of people that were really on the inside, really on David's side. So Hushai, who's a friend of David's, comes to Tzadok and Evyasar, the Kohanim, and he tells them, Kazos v'chazos yo'atz Achisofel es Avshalom. Such and such is the way Achitofel advised Avshalom. Yes, Zikne Yisrael, v'chazos v'chazos yo'atz di'ani. And this is how I advise Avshalom. Now, why is he telling them both? Right? Why is Hushai telling Tzadok and Evyasar to, you know, both plans? So says the Malbim, Hushai himself was not sure which plan Avshalom was going to go with. He advised Avshalom as his plan. The Navi tells us that Avshalom liked it. We don't know for sure that he communicated that to Hushai. And even if he did, you know, who knows? This is war. This is battle. This is rebellion. Sometimes people change their minds. The plans change. The strategies change. So he wasn't 100% sure which strategy Achitofel would go with. And that's why he told Tzadok and Avyasar both plans. This was Achitofel's plan, and this is my plan. Pasuk Tezayin, what should they do with that information? Ve'ata, and now, Shilchu Mehera, Hagidu leDavid leMor. Go run and tell David this information. Al Talen Halayla beArvos Hamidbar. Don't sleep tonight in the plains of the desert. right? Why? Because you'll be in danger. Maybe he'll follow Achitofel's plan and he'll go attack you tonight. So don't sleep tonight in the plains of the desert. Hide. Vigam avor ta'avor. And you should also cross the Yarden. Cross the Yarden. And we'll see exactly, I'll show you on a map exactly where this is going. Penyevula lamelech ulechol ha'am asher ito. This is an interesting language. Penyevula. Yevula is from the language of bolea, to swallow up. So different interpretations here. What exactly is being swallowed up? According to Rashi, Rashi says, maybe my advice will be swallowed up. And instead, people will follow, instead of Shalom and his men will follow the advice of Achitofel. So that's how, that's how he understands it. That people will tell David quietly, don't listen to Hushai, listen to Achitofel instead. Maybe that will get swallowed up. And that's what's going to happen here. The Radak says, no, it means that maybe David and his men will be swallowed up. Meaning maybe Achitofel will attack and David and his men will be swallowed up. So that's a little bit of a different understanding. The Mitzudas David says that Hushai was worried that maybe when they told me that they liked my plan, they were really only trying to trick me so that I wouldn't tell David about their plan. And maybe really the whole time, they were really planning to follow Achitofel. They asked me my opinion. I told them a different plan. And they said, Hushai, we love your plan. They only wanted to say that because they wanted to trick me. They wanted to fool me. And this way, I won't go to David and tell them any information. And meanwhile, they're going to do Achitofel's plan and they're going to kill David. So he was worried about all sorts of things. He was worried that maybe they're backstabbing him, maybe they're tricking him, maybe they'll change their mind, maybe somebody will say something quietly and annul my plan, whatever the case is. But he's worried, and therefore he tells Tzadok and Abiasar, quickly go and tell David all this information. Pasuk Yudzayin. V'yohonasan v'achimo'atz omdin be'ein rogel. So Yehonasan and Achimo'atz, who, if you remember back from Perek Tesvav, were the sons of Tzadok and Avyasar. These are the two sons of Tzadok and Avyasar. They were standing in a place called Ein Rogel. Ein Rogel. Okay? Now, Ein Rogel, this is actually kind of cool. Somebody showed me this. Let me pull it up. Okay, hold on a second. Give me a second here. I'm going to share my screen. Okay, so you should be able to see this map here, right? So this map is a map of Eretz Yisrael. This is from a website, hatanach.com, and they have all these maps, a lot of different resources, but they have maps by eras and maps by chapter. You can search by the chapter that you're learning in Tanakh and see the maps of the areas that you're learning about. Okay, so if you look here, we'll zoom in, and here's Yerushalayim, okay? And here's Ein Rogel. Ein Rogel is just to the south of Yerushalayim. So says the Navi that these two individuals, Yehonasan and Achimoatz, that's where they were stationed in Ein Rogel, which is right, as we saw, to the south of Yerushalayim. The Holcha HaShivcha, now it's interesting, Mitzudas David points out that Yehonasan and Achimoatz could not be in Yerushalayim. They had to be out of Yerushalayim. Because otherwise, if people saw, Tzadok and Avyasar and Yonasan and Achimoatz, they would start to think something was up. They would start to think that, maybe they're really in cahoots with David. So that's what Yonasan and Achimoatz stayed out of town. They stayed to this place, Ein Rogel, which was to the south of Yerushalayim. V'holcha Shivcha v'higida lahem. So this one of the maidservants ran and told Yonasan and Achimoatz, who were in Ein Rogel, told them what's going on. Vehem yelchu vihigidu lamelech David, and they were commanded to run and go and tell David all of this information. Ki lo yuchlu leheraos lavo ha'ira, as the pasuk says, they could not appear in the city. They could not appear in this place, or else people would think it was suspicious. Just one interesting side point here that Rashi mentions is that why was this place called Ein Rogel? Very interesting point. Ein Rogel, apparently this was a place where they had a lot of laundromats. People used to do the laundry here. And how would they do the laundry? They would get everything nice and, soaked up. And then the people would stomp. The washers would stomp with their feet on the clothing in order to clean it with the detergent or whatever soap that they were using. That's why it's called Ein Rogel, like Raglayim, they would stomp on it. So that's interesting, a little tidbit, why it was called Ein Rogel. Okay. Pasuk Yud Ches. Vayar Osam Na'ar. Oh, here's the beginning of the problem, though. They were spotted. Yehonasan and Achimoatz were spotted on their way to David. They were spotted by a young boy who saw them running, and he thought this was suspicious. These guys are probably in cahoots with David, and this is suspicious. So what did he do? Vayaged le'Avshalom. So this Na'ar ran and told Avshalom, hey, there are two spies that are running to David. They must have information, and they're going to tell David the information. Now these Yehonasan and Achimoatz, the Pasuk says, noticed that the Na'ar saw them, and therefore they took off running. Because they figured, okay, now we're going to get chased. So they took off running. And they came to the house of a man in Bachurim. Doesn't say now who it was. We'll talk about that in a second. There's no identity right now. But they went to this to the house of a person from Bachurim. Velo ve'er b'chatzero. This person in Bachurim happened to have a well in his chatzer, in his courtyard. Vayerdu sham, and they jumped into the well to hide because they figured that Avshalom and his men are going to come chasing us. So they ran. They ran into this person's chatzer. They found a well and they jumped. They jumped into the well. Okay. Now, the Malbim points out here that this all of this was incredible hashkach. Okay, and he points out four different aspects of what, you know, different elements of Ashkacha here. He says, number one, the fact that they noticed that this Na'ar saw them. Maybe they wouldn't have noticed, right? And then they would have been going, slowly along their way, and the Na'ar would have run, told Avshalom, and then they would have gotten caught. So Ashkacha number one is that they noticed that the Na'ar spotted them. That's number one. Number two, they ran into this person's chatzer. He happened to have a well in his chatzer. Right? It's not a coincidence. That's also Hashgachas Hashem, that he happened to have a well in his chatzer. Number three, and this we'll see in the next pasuk, okay? In the next pasuk, pasuk yutes, Vatika Ha'isha. So the wife of this fellow takes some sort of a curtain or a screen, Vatifros es hamasach al pnei habe'er, and she takes it and she covers the mouth of the well with this curtain. Batishtach alav harifos, and she takes wheat and she throws it all over the top of this well so that it will look like, you know, this is just a place where you store wheat. And it will look like no one's in there. There's no well under here. No one's in here. Velonoda davar, and nobody knew a thing, right? She disguised it very well. Says the Malbim. Number three, Hashgacha number three, this woman, right? The woman of the house had mercy on them. And she thought, she came up with this great idea of how to disguise the well. You know, she threw this curtain on top and spread all this wheat out to fool everyone. And number four, what did she say? Says the Malbim Pasuk Chaf, Vayavo Avdei Avshalom. So now, the servant Avshalom and his men hear that there's two spies that are on their way to David. He sends his men. They see which direction they're going in. They come to Bachurim. They come to this house. They must have even seen which house they went to. And they come and they question the woman. They come to the house, they knock on the door. Where are these two guys? We saw them. We know that they're on their way to David. She said they were here, but they ran. They ran and they crossed the stream. There's a stream of water nearby. They crossed that stream. So they searched, they didn't find them. There's a question, some Mitzvah Stavis said either means they searched in the house, maybe they searched across the stream, but they searched for them, they couldn't find them. So what are they going to do? They gave up. They went back to Yerushalayim. They went back to Yerushalayim. Oh, very interesting story. Says the Malbim, the fourth element of Ashkacha here is that this woman said something that was very convincing. They were here, but they left. Had she said, I don't know what you're talking about, right? That would have been very suspicious because these guys, the Avdei Avshalom, they knew that that Yehonasan and Achimatz were on the run. They knew that the Nair saw them. So had the woman said, I don't know what you're talking about, they would have been suspicious. They would have searched everywhere, maybe found them in the Be'er. But she didn't say that. She said they were here, but they ran. Where did she learn this from? Or maybe she didn't learn it from here. But where else do we find such a language? Says the Malbim in Sefer Yehoshua Perek Beis, with the two Meraglim who come to Rachav. Rachav hides them. And when she's confronted, what does she say? The Pasuk says in Pasuk Hay in Perek Beis, she says, I'm sorry, Pasuk Dalin, Vatomer, Kain Bole Laihon Hashim. They came to me. They did come here. But Veloyadati Me'ain Halo. I don't know what happened to them. They ran away. Right? And she even in the next Pasuk, she says, I think they ran out. You know, go quickly, go find them. So that's a very convincing story. You know, they were here and then they kept running. That's convincing. So we don't want to miss them. So they run after them, right? So that's what Rachav said. And that's what this woman said as well. Now it's interesting. Pashup Shat, you know, the man and the woman here are anonymous, right? The Pasuk says, El Beis Ish Bivachurim. And the next Pasuk says, Vatiga Chaisha. It's a man and a woman. You know, their identities are anonymous. But there's a Medrash that says that we do know another person that was from Bahurim. By the way, you know, I really like this tool. So let's check out, before we get to the Medrash, let's check out where Bahurim is. Take a look at the map here. Okay, here's Yerushalayim. Here's Ein Rogel. This is where the boys, Yehonasan and Achimatz, were. And they ran north. It's kind of like northeast. Okay, of Yerushalayim, they ran to Bahurim, and this is where this story is taking place, northeast of Yerushalayim. Okay, so says the Medrash that who were these people, right? Who was this man and this woman? So who else do we find from Bahurim in the previous perek? Shimi ben Gera. Remember Shimi ben Gera? Shimi ben Gera who was from Binyamin, who was on the side of Shaul, hated David. He cursed David when he saw him. He threw rocks at David when he saw him. And he ended up being killed, Shimi ben Gera. But says the Medrash, this was the house of Shimi ben Gera. And this is why he's only mentioned in the context that it's his house. It was Shimi ben Gera's house. But he's dead. He's not around anymore. And that's what the very next pasuk says, Vatiga Chaisha. Right? His wife was the only one who was still left. She was in the house. And therefore, she hid the men. She did not follow her husband's opinion, right, of preferring Shaul, Beis Shaul over David, right? She didn't follow that opinion, and therefore she wasn't cursing and anything like that. In fact, she was helping Beis David. And then says the Medrash, as a reward for the wife of Shimi ben Gera for helping David here, what happened? Mordechai and Esther descended from her. Wow. And Mordechai and Esther descended from the wife of Shimi ben Gera. Remember, Mordechai and Esther were from Shevet Binyamin, Pasuk says, right, in the Megillah, Ish Yemini, right, that's how it refers to Mordechai, he was from Shevet Binyamin, so he descended, according to the Medrash, he descended from the wife of Shimon ben Gera, and it was a reward for her helping David and his men in this circumstance. Okay, so now, the Pasuk continues.
Where did we find? I don't remember in the text that Shimi ben Gera was killed.
Shimi ben Gera, that wasn't that imposed in Perek Tesvav. No, it didn't say he was killed. Did I make that up? Hold on.
Unless I missed it.
Pasuk Tes Perek Tesvav. Maybe I'm wrong. Hold on. Give me a second here. This is deciding not to work. Let's try one second. Shimi ben Gera. Kirsten. Amar Avishai wanted to kill him, and he said no. My David said no. Hold on. Let him be. Right? I'm sorry. David said let him be. He wanted to kill him. You're right. You're right. Yeah. No, you're right. Thank you. In the last parak, right, Shimon ben Gera cursed, but he wanted it. Avishai wanted to kill him, and David told him not to.
So maybe his wife did this without his Shimi ben Gera knowing.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Very good. Thank you. Okay, so he was still alive. He was not killed. Thank you. Avishai wanted to kill him. That's what I must have been remembered. Avishai wanted to kill him, and David said, "No, don't kill him. Let him be. Let him curse. Who cares? It's not going to make a difference to me." And exactly right. So this. Okay. Very good. So he was still alive. Good. Okay. Shkoyach. Thank you, Josh. Okay. Here we go. So says the pasuk. In pasuk Chaf Aleph we're up to. Okay. Vayhi acharei lechtam. Now, after they leave. Right after they leave, the meaning the avodim of Avshalom, Bayalu mehabeir. So Yehonasan and Achimaatz get the word that everything is all clear. So they come up from the well, Vayelchu vayagidu lamelech David, and they run and they reach David and they tell him, Vayomru al David, Kumu veivru meheras hamayim, ki chacha yoatz aleichem achitofel. You got to run. You got to cross the Yarden. Because this is what Achitofel recommended to Avshalom, and you might come and be attacked very soon. Pasuk Chav Beis, Vayakom David b'chol ha'am asher ito, Vayavru es ha'yardein ad or ha'boker. So David and all of his men get up, and they cross the Yarden by the light of the morning. Ad achad lo nedar asher lo avar es ha'yardein. By the time the morning came, no men were left. Everyone had already crossed the Yarden. Okay, so David is listening to this information. Pasuk Chav Gimel, very interesting pasuk. Va'achitofel ra'a kilo nezesa atzosa. Achitofel sees that his advice was not being followed. Right, he sees that Avshalom did not go and immediately attack. And therefore he says, okay. I see that my advice is not being followed. Time for me to hang up my cleats. Vayachav oshes achamor. He saddles his donkey. Vayokom vayelech al beiso. And he goes home, El Iro, to his house. The Metzudas David says he was staying in Yerushalayim for the, you know, he had a, like a, he was staying at a hotel or something in Yerushalayim. So now he decided to go home to his house. Vayitzav el beiso. And he presents his family with his will, with his tzava'a, vayechaneik, and he commits suicide. He chokes himself, hangs himself maybe, vayamos, and he dies, vayikaver bekever aviv, and he's buried in his family plot. Now, what, why? What's going on here? Right? It's interesting. I heard from Rabbi Rosner. Rabbi Rosner mentioned that there are four times in Tanakh that there's a suicide. This is the third. We have Shimshon, right, who kills himself by breaking the pillars and everything comes down, crushing the plishtim and himself. We have Shaul, who throws himself on his sword, and this is the third. Achitofel. He quoted the Abarbanel, who says that Shimshon, the difference is that Shimshon and Shaul had good intentions. Shimshon wanted to kill all the Plishtim. Shaul wanted to prevent the Chilul Hashem. You know, Achitofel's, you know, he didn't have such good intentions, Achitofel. Why did he kill himself here? Right? Why did he kill himself? So Pashup Shat says the Radak, that once he saw Avshalom was not following his advice, he said, that's it. David's going to kill Avshalom. Right? If Avshalom doesn't follow my advice, he has no chance. David's going to kill him. If David kills him, so then I'm also going to get killed, right? Because I'm an advisor now to Avshalom. So if he kills Avshalom, he's going to find me and he's going to kill me. So I'd rather die, you know, I'd rather die by my own hand than die by the hand of David and his men. That's the Pashup Shat, says the Radak. The Metzudas David, interestingly, says that no, that wasn't his motivation, just that he didn't want to die at the hands of David and his men. Says the Metzudas David, he knew he would die either way, right? If David wins, then I'm going to die. However, if I'm going to die at the hands of David, so then I'm going to be a Morid B'Malchus. Right? That's why David's going to kill me, because I'm Morid B'Malchus. I'm rebelling against the king. If I'm Morid B'Malchus, they're going to take all of my assets. They're going to take my house. They're going to take my money. They're going to take everything. My kids won't get anything. So here I'll kill myself. My kids will be Yoreshmi. And then when David comes along, I'm already dead, so he can't take my assets. So this was his way of ensuring that his children would have his money, would have his assets, would have his property. That's how the Metzudas David learns his intention for killing himself. The Malbim says a little bit differently, and he says that, you know, until now, Achitofel was going out of his way to make sure his plan was realized. Once he heard that David had crossed the Yarden, and apparently he had heard that information, David crossed the Yarden, he knew that Hashem was with David. That means David got the information. David's on the run. That means that Hashem is helping David. If Hashem's helping David, I have no chance. I'm going to be killed, right? And he mentions, like the Metzudas David, my assets will be taken. And that's why he kills himself. So it's similar to what the Metzudas David says, but he just adds in this point that he realizes that the Hashkacha is now with David. The tables have turned. The Hashkacha is now with David. Hashem is on David's side. And therefore, it's time for me to go. It's, you know, I don't have a chance anymore. I'm not going to survive. And it's interesting. He points out at the end, that's why it says that, why do we care where he was buried? Why do we care that he was buried in his family plot? Says the Malbim, because if he was killed as a Morid B'Malchus, he would not have been buried in his family plot. He would have been buried somewhere else, you know, in a plot of Roshoyim. So here, he killed himself. He was still buried in his family plot. And that's what he did to avoid his assets being taken. So that's how the Malbim understands. Now, it's interesting that the Mishnah in Sanhedrin says that Achitofel is one of the few individuals who lost their Olam Haba. The Mishnah says, Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelek L'Olam Haba, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin in the 10th Perek. Everyone has a Chelek in Olam Haba, except for several individuals, some kings and some lay people. And Achitofel was one of those people who lost his Olam Haba. Because of what he did, he lost his Olam Haba. Okay. Continues the Navi, Pasuk Chaf Dalet. The David ba machanoima. So David comes to Machanayim. The Avshalom avares hayarden. Avshalom now is chasing him, crosses the Yarden. Hu v'cholish Yisrael imo. He and all of the the Jewish people, the soldiers that are with him. Okay, I got it here. Let's play with this toy one more time here. Right. So David's going to Machanayim. Check out your screen here. Okay. The men, right, were in Bahurim. And now, let's zoom out a little bit and get a better view. They tell David, I don't know exactly where David was, but he was somewhere in the middle here. David then crosses the Yarden. This is the Yarden, right? Here you have the Yam HaMelech. So this is the Yarden. David crosses the Yarden, and here's Machanayim. Up here to the north. So he crosses the yard and he comes up north here to Machanayim. And now Avshalom and his men are also crossing the Yarden, chasing David. Okay. Let's go back to the text. Pasuk Chaf Hei. V'es Amasa Sam Avshalom Tachas Yoav Al Hatzava. So Amasa was appointed in place of Yoav as the general of the army. Okay, so Avshalom appoints this fellow Amasa as the general of the army. Who was Amasa? Says the pasuk, the Amasa ven ish. Amasa was the son of a man. Now that seems to be relatively obvious. Of course, he's the son of a man, right? Why does the pasuk say he's the son of a man? So you know, most mepharshim say he was the son of a man. It means a chashuv person. Right? Ish is always used in Tanakh to mean somebody of chashivus. So it means that his father was a chashuv person. He was the Malbim says he was a gadol b'Torah. Okay, what was his name? Ushmo Yisra ha-Yisraeli. His name was Yisra, not Yisro, but Yisro with an aleph at the end. And he was called ha-Yisraeli. We'll talk about that in a second. Asher ba el Avigail bas Nachash, who had relations with Avigail, the daughter of Nachash. Achos Tzruya. Avigail was the sister of Tzruya, Aim Yoav, who's the mother of Yoav, Yoav ben Tzruya. Right? Yoav was the mother of Tzruya. I'm sorry, Tsruya was the mother of Yoav. Okay.
Wasn't there someone Amasa ben Yeser?
It's probably the same person.
Yeah, I remember too.
So, you know, it could be Yeser. Sometimes in Tanakh,
right,
are altered slightly. Okay. So who was this person? So it's very interesting. Most of the Mefarshim here quote Chazal, who say that this fellow, Nachash, right? Avigail Bas Nachash. Nachash was actually Yishai. Okay? Yishai was the father of David. Okay? So most Mefarshim understand here that Nachash was Yishai, which means Avigail, the daughter of Nachash, the daughter of Yishai, was David's sister. Okay? Was David's sister. Yisra and Avigail, Yisra, that means, was David's brother-in-law, and Amasa was David's nephew, right? So Yisra and Abigail are David's brother-in-law and sister, and they have this child, Amasa. Amasa now happens to be in the camp of Avshalom, and Avshalom is appointing him as his general. That's how most of the Mefarshim explain. Why was he called Nachash? If his name was Yishai, why was he called Nachash? So the Rashi quotes Chazal, he was called Nachash because Yishai is identified as one of the very few people. There were four people in history that never sinned. Yishai was one of the individuals that never sinned. Because he never sinned, why did he die? We all die as a result of our sins. So why did he die if he never sinned? The only reason why he died, these four tzaddikim who never sinned, the only reason why they would die is only because of the sin of the Nachash. Going back to the original Nachash with Adam and Chava. So because he died only because of the sin of the Nachash, not because of his own sins, that's why he was called Nachash here. And that's what we're referring to. Okay. The Radak also says, Pashup Shadi says that very often you find people in Tanakh had multiple names. So his name was Yishai, his name was Nachash. That's Pashup Shad. The Mitzudas David does suggest that maybe this was really somebody different, okay? That maybe Avigail, who was married to Yishai, maybe she had a husband, maybe Yishai was her second husband, and Nachash, this guy Nachash, was really the first husband, and really Amasa was only a half, I'm sorry, Avigail was only a half sister to David, not a full sister. They shared a mother, but they didn't share a father. Avigail was the daughter of Nachash, and David was the son of Yishai. That's what he suggests. And he says that's why it says Achos Tsruya, right? Achos Tsruya, because she was a full sister to Tsruya. She and Tsruya were full sisters. She was only half a sister to David. So that's why it says Achos Tsruya, not Achos David. And that's why it says it that way. Okay, fine. The Malbim, interestingly, says that you know we see that Amasa's mother and Yoav's mother were both daughters of Yishai, right? He goes with the approach of Nachash was Yishai. So he says, but Yoav, interestingly, you know, we all say Yoav ben Tsruya. Tsruya was his mother. Yoav was called by his mother's name. We don't even know Yoav's father's name. We don't know Yoav, who Yoav's father was. But it just calls him Yoav ben Tsruya. So that's why it says, that's why the Pasuk says, the Amasa ben Ish. It doesn't just say ben Ish to say that he was a chashuv person. Ben Ish, as opposed to Yoav, who's called by his mother's name, Amasa was called by his father's name. Right? Who was his father? His father was Yisra. Right? So he was called by his father's name as opposed to Yoav, who was called by his mother's name. They were cousins. Right? But as opposed to Yoav, who was called by his mother's name. Okay. Fine. One other interesting side point here, the Radak points out that he was called Yisra HaYisraeli. He says, if you look in Divrei HaYamim, he's called Yisra HaYishmaeli. So which one is he? Is he Jewish or is he Arab? Right? Was he Yisraeli or was he Yishmaeli? So he says, really, he was Jewish, but he gives a couple different pshat on why he was called Yishmaeli. He says, maybe he lived in an Arab country, and that's why they called him Yishmaeli. He says, another pshat, he says, based on the Medrash, very interesting. He says that when Shaul wanted to invalidate David. How did he want to invalidate David? By saying that David is a descendant of Rus. Rus is a Moavia, right? Torah says you can't marry it into Moab. So Yisra came forward and said, absolutely not. He said, I learned in the Beis Medrash of Shmuel that it's Moavi velo Moavia, right? That the only one that's prohibited is a Moavi, a male Moavite. But a Moavi woman is fine, and Rus is fine. And he took his sword, right? The Medrash says he took his sword like a Yishmaeli, like an Arab. He took his sword, and he said, whoever doesn't listen to this pshat of Shmuel will be killed by the sword. So that's another pshat why he was called Yishmaeli in the Divrei HaYamim. Okay. One last thing. It says in the Pasuk here, Asher Ba Elav Yigal Bas Nachash. Why does it say Asher Ba? Asher Ba means that they had relations. It's a very strange way of saying that they were, just say they were married. You know, they were married. So the Radak says, maybe they had relations before they were married. And maybe Amasa was the product of the relations that they had before they were married. And that's why it says Asher Ba Elav Yigal Bas Nachash. Okay, fine. Let's move on to Pasuk Chavav. Vayichan Yisrael V'Avshalom Eretz HaGilad. So Yisrael and Avshalom camp in the land of Gilad. Land of Gilad, this is of course in Eber HaYarden. This is on the other side of the Yarden, in the land of Menashe, we know, right? Gilad is in the land of Menashe. And the Pasuk says in Chav Zayin, Vayikivo David Machanaima. When David comes to Machanaim, which we saw on the map, which is kind of northeast of Bachurim and where we were last, there, so Vishovi ben Nachash Merabas b'nei Amon. So there was a fellow. We're introduced now to a whole bunch of people. Shovi ben Nachash, he was from Rabas b'nei Amon. Okay, where is that? So if you take a look on our trusty map here, I'm sharing my screen. Okay, you look here, right here, Rabas Amon. Right, that's Rabas b'nei Amon right there. It's kind of a southeast of where of Machanayim. So that's where this fellow. That's where this fellow was from. Shovi ben Nachash. Machir ben Amiel, Milo Devar. Machir ben Amiel was from this other place called Lo Devar. And Barzilai Hagiladi, that's a more well-known name, Barzilai Hagiladi. He was from Meroglim. He was from Roglim. So these were all three individuals who were being introduced to them. Who are these people? We don't really know. Right? We don't really know who these people were. But we find that they're about to help David. Pasuk Chavches, what do they do? Mishkav, they give David and his men Mishkav v'sapo suchli yotzer v'chitim u'saorim v'kemach v'koli u'pol v'adoshim v'koli. Basically, they give David and his men a lot of food, and Mishkav v'sapos, which are maybe beds and basins, wash basins, all sorts of different pshatim in the Rishonim, what exactly these things are. But basically, they gave them a lot of materials, food. They restocked them. Udvash pasuk chavtes, udvash vechema vitzon ushvos bakar, and they gave them honey and butter and milk. Higishu leDavid v'la'am asher itov. They brought to David and to the men that were with him leechol to eat ki amru ha'am ra'ev ve'ayef vitzameh b'amidbar, because his people were tired. They were tired. They were hungry. They were thirsty. So these people came to help. Now, two very interesting points here. Number one, they came to help. Who was this? So who was the Shovi ben Nachash? So Rashi says, based on Chazal, to Medrash, that Shovi was Hanun. He was Hanun ben Nachash, who was the king of Ammon. Now, if you remember, Hanun ben Nachash, who was the king of Ammon, actually disgraced David's men. You know, a couple of prakim ago, he did very bad things to David's men. So because of that, the Radak says that this Medrash is very difficult. All of a sudden, you know, a couple of prakim ago, he's disgracing David's men, you know, and really embarrassing David. And now all of a sudden he's helping David out so much. So he says that's a very difficult medrash. He says it's possible. Maybe, says the Radak, maybe he converted. And that's why David spared him, because maybe he converted and he did tshuva. Okay, it's possible. But the Malbim says something here fascinating. And he says, you know, these last three psukim are kind of random. You know, all these people came out and they helped David. Okay, that's nice. You know, why is this so important? This is how the parak ends. You know, why is this so important? Says the Malbim, no. We see that the Hashkachas Hashem is turning and now helping David. The tables are turning. That's one of the themes of this parak, says the Malbim. The parak started out with Avshalom all excited and he's going to Achitofel, going to Hushai, how should I attack David? Very nice. But the tables are turning. Achitofel already saw it when David crossed the Yarden. He saw, okay, they're not listening to my plan. David crossed the Yarden. The Hashgachas Hashem is with him. Says the Malbim, now all of these people are coming out of the woodwork to help David, to give him all of this food, all of these supplies. Why? To show that the Hashgacha is now with David. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is helping David. Once, and it says the Malbim, that once, when did the tables turn? What was the turning point here? Says the Malbim, once Avshalom slept with David's concubines. Remember, he slept with those concubines. That was Achitophel's Eitzah. And David went into exile. That was David's Onesh. Period. David's Onesh was done. Once David's Onesh was done, it was time for David's light to shine again. It was time for David's sun to rise again in the east. And now the Hashgachas Hashem is turning and helping David HaMelech. So while Avshalom did pick up some steam in the beginning of his rebellion, and there were certain things that he was successful at, this perek is the turning point. And now Avshalom is on the downturn, David's on the up and up, and we're going to see how, Mirtz Hashem, David will reinstate his malchus, and Avshalom will meet his demise.
Rabbi, quick question, Rabbi.
Yes, of course.
Why did Avshalom, when he was chasing David, take such a long way? He went like further west, much further west, chasing David. Instead of, David went like in a straight path, and Avshalom like all around China. Why?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. Do you have a map over there in your Tanakh?
Yeah, I have a map in my Imlok.
Yeah, so the map I was using doesn't show the routes that they took.
Mine shows it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. I'm not sure. All right, everyone. Thank you very much.